Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Somebody say with you and shall be in you. Somebody say in you. Turn to your neighbor and just ask him, is the Spirit in you? There's a difference between the Spirit being in you and on you. Samson had it on him, but he didn't know when it was lifted off of him. I want it in me in Jesus' name. We're talking about the power of Pentecost, the birth of the church. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter, 7 weeks after Easter. It's the birthday of the church. 2,000 years ago almost, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit that created, we'll get to that in just a moment, the Spirit that did so many great things in the Old Testament, the Spirit that Paul wrote letter after letter after letter in the New Testament was given, and the church as we know it was born. The problem is most churches, like everything else, have made Pentecost Sunday a day and not a lifestyle. One of my friends who almost every post he makes is about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and Pentecost in Australia, almost every post he makes is about the Spirit of God. He put last night, which was Sunday in Australia, he put up, these are the next few Sundays, and it was like the next 12 Sundays at Life Church in Australia, and he put Pentecost Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. He gets it. Pentecost is not relegated to a day. It is a gift that God unleashed that should never, ever go dormant, should never, ever be passed over, should never be forgotten. It is not a parlor trick that we tap into just when we need something, but the Holy Ghost is something. It is a weapon. It is a gift that should be used each and every day of your life, multiple times in your life. It should be a gift that once it is activated, even when you don't want it to work, it works. You say, what does that mean? It's called discernment. It's called conviction. Nobody wants to be convicted, but I'm so glad that the Holy Ghost convicts me, not just on Sundays at 11:45, but he convicts me on Tuesdays at 3:30 in the afternoon or Thursday morning at 2:45 in the morning. The Holy Spirit works all the time. The four greatest symbols of Christianity, you've heard me say this before, the empty manger, because it means Jesus grew up to be our Savior. An empty cross, because Jesus finished his assignment of redemption. Number three, an empty tomb. Jesus unleashed the power of resurrection. And what we celebrate today is not just that Jesus came to us in the form of his Holy Spirit in the upper room, but that Jesus gave his Spirit and the church is still alive. I'm grateful that that upper room is empty today, because it means that the church did not stay in a room. Come on, somebody. Mario and myself have been emailing and meeting and talking with our reach team and with the Wellingtons and with the Hankins, and we've been getting ready to go out and take Jesus to the streets. Why? Because what God has done should not be contained in a room. What God has done should not be contained to a Sunday morning expression or a Wednesday night service. Our goal is to get everybody to Jesus. But the ones we can't get to Jesus, we are going to take Jesus to them. I encourage all new believers or those that are beginning to study the Word of God seriously to begin in the Gospel of John. Right after John, you can flow into the book of Acts, and that continues into Romans, and Romans teaches the believer that we are the righteousness of God, that we're saved by grace through faith, but it also gives us spiritual growth as a believer. The last verse of Acts is the 31st verse of chapter 28, and it says that he being Paul, proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Verse 31 ends there, but there is no chapter 29 in the Bible, but we are chapter 29 of the book of Acts. The same thing that Paul did is what we're supposed to be doing. And listen, when you come here, we want to teach you how to have a strong marriage, how to raise godly, successful children, how to do all of the things that God has called you to do. But the point of this ministry is the same thing that Jesus did, to seek and save that which is lost. And so Living Way is going to be a beacon beacon of light on the highway. I want Living Way to be known as a soul-winning church, that we are continuously pointing people to Jesus. If you're sick, there's a Jesus. If you're lost, there's a Jesus. If you're addicted, there's a Jesus. If marriage is on the rocks, there's a Jesus. If you're having trouble with your kids, there's Jesus. We are Acts chapter 29. What was done in the Gospels, what was done in the book of Acts, and what was done in the early church, we should be doing today. And when was the last time you cast out a devil? You say, well, I don't know how. That's your job. No, no, no. The Bible says that's the believer's job. I am a pastor, but I am a believer first. When I get to heaven, I won't be a pastor. I won't be a preacher. I will be a saint of God just like I am today. Could it be that the reason you haven't cast out the devil out of somebody you know, could it be the reason you haven't laid your sick hands on the sick and they recovered? It's not because you don't know how or you think it's my job. Could it be that you're not filled with the Holy Ghost? Maybe you got this much, and that's just enough for you, but you don't have enough to help somebody else. Come on, somebody. Genesis chapter 1, just to take us through quick history, that the Holy Spirit didn't just show up in Acts chapter 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first verse. The second verse of the entire Bible: now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The same Spirit that we worshiped in today. You say, well, I didn't worship in spirit today. You should. John 4 says that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. So the Spirit of God was not just found in Acts, wasn't just found when Jesus talked about it in Matthew 7, the Spirit of God from the very beginning of time, a triune God found in one form, God Almighty, Jehovah in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament, Holy Ghost here in 2022. It was moving across nothingness. If you're writing notes, write this down. The Holy Spirit creates. I'm going to get to it in a minute, and I don't want to run the point, but some of us get caught so caught up in speaking in tongues that we miss the point. I don't want to speak in tongues. That's what you're saying. I don't want to look foolish. I don't want to look crazy, but do you want to create? I'd rather look foolish and create. I'd rather look foolish and be able to create something out of nothing. And the Spirit of God is the only one that is able to do that through us. The Holy Spirit was priming the atmosphere so that when the Word of God was spoken, immediately creation took place. When God said, let there be light, the Spirit of God had primed and prepared the atmosphere. So when the Word of God was preached, that's why you and I should be excited that we're in a Spirit-filled church today. Why? Because when the Word of God is being preached, when the Word of God is being sung, the Spirit of God has prepared this place for the creative and for the miraculous. The Holy Ghost is prophesied in Isaiah how the Holy Spirit would manifest. You say, why tongues? And I could stand here and maybe we'll do a series later on this year, because we do have a lot of new believers. But there is a reason why the Bible, or why God chose to use the tongue. Number one, it's the most unruly member of your body. They can put you in the darkest of prisons, but they can't shut you up. Your life follows your words. What you create, good or bad, blessing or cursing. Isaiah 28, verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9, one of my favorite stories and accounts in the Word of God. Then said God unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these that are slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as God commanded me, and the breath came into them. The same breath that God breathed into Adam now came into thousands of men that God had put their bones back together. The same breath that 2,000 years ago settled on an upper room with 120 people brought these men back to life. And I got good news for you. 4,000 years passed between Ezekiel's breath and the breath that Ezekiel called down in Acts chapter 2. And I'm here to tell you, it's only been 2,000 years, but the breath of God is still breathing today. The Holy Spirit is still making the difference today. If you are not filled with the Spirit, don't be scared of it. Learn about it, embrace it, receive it, and watch your life transform. And they all lived, stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. I'm going to help somebody and free somebody from people today. You don't need them. You need the Holy Ghost. You don't need them. You need the Holy Ghost. Well, if I had this, I could get it done. If I had that support system, I could get it done. If I had the right squad around me, I could get it done. Ezekiel was by himself in a graveyard. And God said, hey, Ezekiel, if you'll speak to these bones are going to come together. And after you've done everything you can do in obedience, I need you to prophesy to the Holy Spirit, to the wind. That wind's going to show up. And the army you were looking for was all around you. You just needed to be obedient and let the Spirit make up the difference. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the Holy Spirit will always make up the difference. The Holy Spirit will fight for you, church. While you sleep, the Holy Spirit fights, doesn't slumber. While you're at work, the Holy Spirit fights. Been asked before, what's the difference between the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the Holy Ghost in the New Testament? Very easy. To have a ghost, somebody had to die. Jesus died. His ghost, his spirit. Why is it that the world believes so easily in evil ghosts, but they cringe and they don't believe in the Holy Ghost? Why do you pay good money to go be scared watching the exorcism of Emily Rose? And you believe in that, and it keeps you up all night, and you will pay money to be scared, and you will have night terrors, and you will have nightmares. But when some preacher preaches about the Holy Ghost, oh, not, that's not for me. That's too weird. That's too out there. Can I remind you, the devil is a liar, and we live in physical bodies, but we live in a spiritual world. And can I tell you, there are evil spirits trying to drag you straight to hell, but I'm so grateful that the cross gave me a way to heaven, and God said, I'm not going to leave you alone until you get there. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. Why do we talk about people being possessed by evil spirits? I watch the news, and a lot of what they're calling other things, I tell Mandy, that person's demon possessed. And we're so easy to buy into those. But have you ever heard somebody say in a good way, oh, that person's Holy Ghost possessed? You don't hear that. You say it sounds weird. No, it sounds different. It sounds weird because you've never heard it before. Can I encourage us? Can we normalize being possessed with the Holy Spirit? Can we normalize being led by God's Spirit? Can we normalize not making decisions based on our flesh, but letting the Spirit of God flow through us, talk through us, live in us? Can we normalize? Sister Chris, can I just say that you are possessed with the Holy Ghost? Sean, can I just tell you that you are possessed with the Holy Ghost? Brother Eric, I've known you a long time. You've always been possessed with the Holy Ghost. Can we normalize being possessed with the Holy Ghost? In the Old Testament, you heard words like on. The Holy Spirit was on or upon or with us. Judges chapter 14, verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord came up on Samson. Was on Samson. Samson did not look like Thor. Samson did not look like a young Arnold Schwarzenegger. Samson did not look like John Cena. Samson looked more like me than any of those guys. That's why it was amazing when he could do what he was doing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came and rested on him, meaning this: it doesn't matter what color you are. I need to ask you, are you covered with the Holy Ghost? Not with black skin, white skin, red skin, brown skin. Are you covered with the Holy Ghost? Because if you're covered with the Holy Ghost, it's not about what you can do or what I can do. It all falls on what God has done, is doing, and is capable of doing. Samson's story goes on to tell us that after Delilah braids his hair and cuts his hair, that just like the old times, he thought he would shake off the Philistines, but he did not realize that the Spirit was no longer on him. The Bible said that God had departed him. However, when Jesus starts talking about the Holy Ghost, he takes it to another level, and he takes it to another step. Believers can't have the Holy Ghost on us and with us. On Wednesday night, listen, I'm Holy Spirit filled. I speak in tongues every day. I speak in tongues every day to remind myself I'm still filled. I speak in Holy Ghost every day to remind the enemy I'm still filled. I speak in Holy Ghost to remind all of heaven, he's still got it. He's still one of us. I speak in tongues, Jude chapter 1, verse 20. I don't know if I'll get there today. The Bible says praying, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, meaning there is a level of faith that you cannot obtain unless you learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. You say, Pastor, that hurts my feelings. Take that up with the Word of God. That is straight word. Jude wrote one book, and in verse 20, he said, you can build something that cannot be built unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude tapped into something. He said the Spirit of God can do things and build things in you that you can never do on your own. Believers can have the Holy Ghost on us and with us, which is great, but most importantly and most powerfully, we can have the Holy Ghost in us. That means that we are a carrier. John chapter 7, verse 37, this is Jesus talking. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes, somebody say believes, on me as the scripture has said, not your favorite podcast, not your favorite preacher, but as the scripture has said. Can I tell you, every one of my favorite podcast preachers, every one of my favorite preachers in this generation, there has been something that they've said that I didn't like, I didn't agree with, and when I went to the Word of God, they missed it, including myself. It's impossible for someone like me to speak in a microphone an hour and a half a week and everything I say be 100% true. You say, well, it should be. I'm a man. I've stepped away from my notes now. I say this all the time, and I've never heard any preacher say this, any pastor say this. Anything that you hear in this microphone out of my voice, Bishop's voice, Pastor Mandy's voice, Mario's voice, everything we say, you should check it next to the Word of God. And if you check it next to the Word of God and it does not meet, the Word of God is true, and I missed it that day, I made a mistake that day, and you need to give me grace and forgiveness. Now, if that happens two or three times, if it happens a couple times, every Sunday, I give you permission to go find another church because your preacher shouldn't miss it that often. But what I'm telling you is if you believe on Jesus as the scripture has said, something changes on the inside. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, I love it because it takes all the guesswork out. But this spake he of the Spirit, big S, which they that believe on him should receive, meaning they didn't receive it yet, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why hadn't it been given yet? He hadn't died yet. Because Jesus was not glorified. I've got just a few moments left today, and I want to encourage you. One of the greatest things that ever happened was when Jesus ascended into heaven. You hear people say all the time, oh, I wish Jesus was here. I'd like to just walk with him and talk with him. No, you don't, because he wouldn't be in San Antonio. He'd be in Jerusalem, which means that every time you wanted to worship him, come on, son, there's somebody watching today. You didn't drive 20 minutes to get here. There's somebody in the room. You complained about driving 30 minutes to get here. Where if he was alive today, we'd have to book a flight. We'd have to spend money to get there. And I know what you're saying because I know how you're thinking, because I'm thinking that, well, man, we can book a flight about as cheap as we can drive now. But you know what I love about when Jesus ascended and left us with his spirit is now at any point on a Monday afternoon, I can say, God, I'm so glad that you're here with me. God, I'm grateful that I feel your presence. God, I'm grateful that the spirit you sent is in me. It guides me. It leads me. It talks to me. It helps me with everything. Aren't you glad that on a Sunday morning when we all showed up that the presence of God was in this room? Aren't you glad that after a long day of work, you can shut yourself in your car, you can get home and go into your bedroom, and the God of the universe will meet you wherever you are. In that moment when he talks about us having the Spirit in us, we become a dispenser and a vessel of God's Holy Spirit, meaning we carry his Spirit wherever we go. Wherever, not just church, not just ministry trips, wherever you go, he's at Valero with you, HEB, in the courthouse. When you're having to it's your weekend of visitation, and you've got to go meet your ex, and your ex has their new fling on the, and you've got to meet, the Holy Spirit is right there when you're swapping kids and swapping clothes and swapping car seats. He's there. The Holy Spirit resurrects, Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, which is one of my favorite portions of Scripture, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, if, how do we get it living in us? If we believe as the Scripture has said, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. So the Spirit that raised a dead man's body after 3 days, that same Spirit you're telling me, God, is not only available to me, but it is available 24/7, 365. It lives in me, meaning that the same Spirit that raised a dead body to life now dwells in the same body they tried to say has cancer. It dwells in the same body they tried to say is going to. I am here to tell you, if you have the Spirit of God in you, everything changes. Mark chapter 16, praise team, if you'll come. He said to them, go into all the world. This is one of Jesus' last conversations. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will. Not potentially might happen. These signs will follow those who believe. Here's the question, church, and I don't want to hurt your feeling, but I want the Spirit to convict you. If these signs will follow the believers and they're not following you, do you really believe? Do you have a Sunday belief? Or every day are you like me and you, Jesus? Spirit, lead me. Lead me where my trust is all in you. Lead me where my faith is focused. Lead me where you are the anchor of hope in my life. I'm talking to somebody today. If you believe, the Bible says these signs will follow those that believe. Can I get to it real quick? He said, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. When was the last time you drove out a demon? They will speak in new tongues. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. Bring out the snake. No, just kidding. We're not that church. We were almost that church in the old building. A rattlesnake got loose in the church. We're like, man, that thing better be caught before Sunday. We don't want that reputation. They'll pick up snakes with their hands and they'll drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. And these signs will accompany. Accompany means to be in company with. It means to join in action. Unless your Holy Ghost has action, you don't got it. You think it's some meek little quiet spirit that gives you peace when you've got pain and the process gets to, no, mine's active. My spirit yells sometimes. My spirit jerks me back in the line sometimes. My spirit thumps me on the head sometimes. My spirit is one of action. But I love this definition, church. When it says accompany, these signs will accompany those who believe to exist in association. And then it gives an example. Like thunder with lightning. I remember I used to impress my kids all the time. Because when it would be a really bright lightning, I would tell them, oh, there's a big thunder coming in 5, 4. The bigger the lightning, the bigger the thunder. The crazier that flash, the bigger the boom. You can't have thunder without lightning. I remember I used to tell my mom, my brother and I, hey, can we go swimming? Oh, no, it's storming. Oh, it's just thunder. It's not lightning. My mom would say, Brandon, Cody, if it's thundering, it is lightning. So when Jesus says these signs will accompany, he is talking about the relationship that thunder and lightning, there has to be both. So if I take that logic and I move it over to the Holy Ghost, a believer and a Holy Ghost cannot be separated. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have a believer. If you have a believer, you have the Holy Ghost. You cannot get one without the other. I hope you don't mind me sharing, but yesterday, Mario went to preach in Poteet, Texas, and I said, you ready to give them the Holy Ghost? He said, man, I'm ready, but it's a Baptist church. But you know what I love about Mario? You can't separate Mario from the Holy Ghost or the Holy Ghost from Mario. Why? Because he's a believer. And guess what? The Holy Spirit, the fire showed up last night. Altars were full. People saved. Young people filled. Why? Because if you are a real believer, these signs will follow those that believe. I'm going to press pause on this, so we're going to just pick it up next Sunday. I don't want to keep you all day, and I don't want to rush through the rest of it. Go ahead and jump up on your feet right now. Can I just take a moment, though, to fix something real quick? When we look at this, he said, you will cast out devils, drive out devils. You will speak in new tongues. You will pick up snakes. Say, what does that mean? Said, you'll pick up snakes. Doesn't say you'll get bit or that you'll not get bit, but it says they won't kill you. You'll drink deadly things. You'll keep living. Snake bite is the external. The poison is the internal. The Holy Ghost is not only working on the inside of us as believers, it's working on the outside as well. No force in this earth can take you out when you have the Holy Ghost working in you and on you. Nothing internally can take you out when you have. Doesn't mean that you won't get bit. Doesn't mean that you will avoid pain all of your life. It just means that the Holy Ghost will keep you when the enemy tries to take you out. God bless these three. They've done the hardest part. They've broken the ice. I told you at the beginning of this message today that I wanted people filled and refilled. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I didn't get a chance to get to it, but we'll get there next week. Can I encourage you? Let's not be so scared of the evidence that we miss the purpose of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't want to speak in tongues. Listen, there's a whole lot more to the Holy Ghost than you speaking in tongues. That's the evidence that the Spirit of God, that's what the Bible says. That's a sign that follows believers. They will speak in other tongues. you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, this is your moment. I didn't get a chance to get to it, but I'll get to it next week, but I'm going to tell this real quick to encourage you. 10 days from right now, we'll be in the middle of camp. I'm 40 years old. I'm still going to summer camp, and I've been trying to plan my escape the last 10 years. But once I get there, I love it. Wednesday night is Holy Ghost night. Last year, we had, I believe it was 205 young people. Out of those 205 young people, 205 of them were in the altar for Holy Ghost night. Out of that 205, almost every one of them, without fail, was filled or refilled. I'm talking about drug addicts. I'm talking about young people that have been sleeping around all year. I'm talking about young people that know more Doja Cat lyrics than they do Word of God. But when they got a hold of the Spirit and the Spirit got a hold of them, it transformed their life. See, what are you talking about? I'm talking about their focus for 5 days as Jesus. Could it be that the reason that you haven't made that move to be filled with the Holy Spirit is because we only focus for 90 minutes? We're already thinking about brunch and lunch and dinner and all the plans we have. I want to encourage you. I wouldn't leave this room without the Holy Ghost. We've got demon-possessed people on the streets. You say, you're trying to scare me? No, I'm just telling you facts. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and life in abundance. Where do you think the abundant life comes from? The Holy Ghost. So I want to encourage you in your room, wherever you're watching from today, you can be filled right there where you are. Lift your hands and say, God, fill me with the precious gift of your Holy Spirit, God. Fill me full. Run me over. If you're in this altar today, we're going to make sure that you have received Christ. But right now, right here, I want you to lift both hands and I want you to say, God, fill me today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me, refill me today. I've been filled before, but this is the moment, God, where I get filled again, God. Run my cup over like David, God. I don't want just enough to get me until Wednesday or next Sunday. I want enough, God. I want more than enough, God, that it splashes over on my family, splashes over on my co-workers, that God, on Tuesday, there's still a residue of what you're saying, what you're speaking in this place. Say, Pastor, I've come to the altar, but I'm here for my marriage. The Holy Spirit can work in your marriage. Let's work on the Holy Ghost right now. Let's work on the Holy Ghost right now. Your marriage is going to fall and bow on their knee to God's holy, precious Holy Spirit. Say, I'm here for my children. Let's talk about the Holy Ghost right now. Let's talk about the Holy Ghost. I'm here to be prayed for. I've got sickness in my body. We're going to pray for healing. But right now, just for the next minute, 2 minutes, let's pray for the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit. When they were all in one accord, the book of Acts says, when they're all in one accord, the book of Acts says, the Spirit literally came down as cloven tongues of fire. A visible thing came and rested on them. If you're in this altar today, God is resting on you today. It's good seeing some of my friends that I've grown up knowing for many years saying, hey, I want to be refilled today. I want to be filled for the first time today. But a lot of us, the old guard, were saying, God, I've been coasting, but God, I want something new. I want something new. I want something fresh. The power of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Come on, call out to him if you're in this altar. I'm going to ask our prayer team to go ahead and start praying. I'm going to lay my hands on everybody in this altar. If you're in this house today and you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. Jesus died to give us redemption. Because of sin in our life, he bled and gave his life so that we could go to a real place called heaven. If you've never said yes to Jesus, this is your moment. Join us in this altar. We're not going to embarrass you. We're going to love you. We're going to pray for you. And we're going to lead you in a prayer of faith today. If you still want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and you're not in the room, this is your moment. Join us in this altar right now.